Bibles open on our knees, let us pray to the Lord. Father in heaven, in our call to worship, we read how you're the one who teaches us. Father, this morning we would ask that we would not hear the words just of a fallen, failed, frail man. And Father, that we would hear you, the living, true God, speaking to us this day, instructing us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning from this text, we're going to see that Jesus warns us to be aware of false teaching. Jesus warns us to be aware of false teaching. Last week, Ben took us through the miraculous feeding of the 4,000 men plus women and children. Ben compared and contrasted the differences and similarities between the feeding of the 4,000 to the feeding of the 5,000. You remember, spot the difference. In application, we saw our weakness, our fallen state. We were led and directed to the God of all great compassion, who can deal with our weakness through his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we see that Jesus is met once again by his chief opponents, the religious establishment of his day. They demand him to give them a sign from heaven. Jesus calls them an evil and adulterous generation. He tells his opponents the only sign they will receive is the sign of Jonah. Jesus tells the disciples, beware of the leaven, the yeast, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's work our way through the text, and after we've done that, then we'll consider application for the text. Matthew tells us in verse 1 that Jesus' opponents have arrived to examine him. They demand him to give them a sign from heaven to prove that his power and authority was of God. Here we see that the Pharisees and Sadducees have come together to test Jesus. This is strange, as the Pharisees and Sadducees don't normally agree on anything. They both claim to understand the law of God correctly. The Sadducees were known for being liberal towards the law of God, when the Pharisees, in fact, added to the law of God, added it by adding their own man-made laws. However, these both groups agree on one thing. They hate Jesus. They do not believe that he is the promised Messiah. They have come in the boat to try and ruin his reputation in front of the people. They're here to call his bluff. They cannot deny that Jesus has power, but they do not believe that his power is of God. They in fact believe his power is of the devil. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus healed a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute? What did the Pharisees say? Matthew chapter 12, 24 tells us, they say, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. The text tells us that the Pharisees and Sadducees have come to tempt Jesus. Give us a sign from heaven. What these blinded guys don't get is that Jesus, in fact, is the sign from heaven. Why do they need more signs? They have seen his power and authority been demonstrated many times. The proof is in the pudding. In our text last week in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 31, we saw how Jesus healed the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And how did these foreigners, these Gentile pagans, respond? They glorified the God of Israel. Throughout Matthew's Gospel, we have seen time and time again Jesus providing powerful, extraordinary signs to prove who he is. He has fulfilled Old Testament prophecies in front of their eyes, and yet they still demand an other sign. How does Jesus respond to this demand for a sign from heaven? We see in verses 2 and 3 that he does not fall for their temptation. Instead, Jesus rebukes these men. He tells them, your basic method for predicting the weather is you look to the sky, and if it's red at dusk, you know the next day, that's a sign that the next day is going to provide good, calm weather. But the sky is red in the morning, if it's threatening, you believe trouble is ahead, a storm is on the way. We have all heard the saying, we've been brought up with the saying, red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. Jesus tells them, you know how to predict and interpret the weather, but you feel miserably at interpreting the signs of the times. The Pharisees and Sadducees claimed to understand the law of God. They were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Right in front of their eyes was the long-expected Messiah, but they refused to acknowledge him. Right in front of their eyes was the eternal Son of God, who had divine power, grace and compassion to heal the sick, raise the dead, remove demons, and even end destructive storms. Jesus is saying to these men, how blind are you still? These religious leaders couldn't see the writing on the wall. They could not see that Jesus was in fact the Messiah who had come to defeat Satan, to break the curse, to redeem a people unto the glory of God. He is the promised Savior. Jesus warns us to be aware of false teachers. In verse 4, Jesus tells these religious leaders that the only sign they're going to receive and see is the sign of Jonah. Jesus calls them an evil and adulterous generation. We saw how Jesus said the exact same thing to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 39. Jesus calls them an evil and adulterous generation, as they have and are being unfaithful to God. He says, you lot of so-called holy Jews have treated God's law, my law, with contempt. Now you holy Jews are treating God's Messiah with contempt. Jesus tells them, you want to see a sign? You're going to see the greatest of all signs, the sign of Jonah, as I am the greater Jonah. What is the sign of Jonah? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, we read, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, it states, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. What has the sign of Jonah got to do with the Lord Jesus? Jesus here, in fact, is speaking about his death and resurrection. How do we know this? Well, Matthew has already told us this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to, verse 40. Matthew 12, verse 40. Jesus says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. By Christ's atoning death and his resurrection, he would prove to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that he is in fact the promised Messiah. The sign would be a complete victory over all his enemies. William Hendrickson, in his commentary on Matthew, says, what a sign Jesus' death and resurrection would be to the Pharisees, who were constantly planning Jesus' death, with no fear that he would ever be able to conquer death. And for the Pharisees, who did not even believe in the resurrection. Jesus warns us to be aware of false teaching. Jesus has now finished his conversation with his opponents. He now departs from them. In verses 5 to 12, we see Jesus instructing the disciples to be aware of the leaven, the yeast, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 5 tells us that the disciples have arrived without any bread. In verse 6, Jesus instructs them to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What does Jesus mean by this statement? Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Leaven is yeast. You remember in the parable of the yeast in Matthew 13, verse 33, Jesus' point was that the yeast impacts all of the flour, the whole amount of the flour, all of the dough. It is the yeast that will make the bread rise. Jesus is saying here that the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is like yeast. He is telling the disciples not to get sucked in by the teaching of these religious leaders, as their teaching does not just impact their own lives, but the lives of all those who hear and listen and believe their teaching. Jesus is teaching the disciples that the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees will not lead them to God. It will not teach them and point them to the one who can provide them with salvation. Their teaching will not lead them to Christ. The Pharisees believed that salvation was attained through their own efforts, their own works. It was their task to earn it. Their religion was based on the idea of living out your life to a very high standard. Obey our rules and you'll be in. The Sadducees were the wealthy aristocrats of Jesus' day. They looked after the affairs of the Jewish temple. They believed in the written law of God. They didn't believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. They didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe in heaven and hell. The Pharisees were devoutly religious, while the Sadducees were very worldly. In reality, the Pharisees' teaching led the people to find a way out of keeping the law of God. Do you remember in Matthew 15, verses 3 to 9, we saw how the Pharisees provided a way for children to escape the requirement of honouring the fifth commandment. The Pharisees' beliefs and teaching were as worldly and as damaging as the Sadducees. They were in fact leading the people in error and in destruction. Jesus warns us to be aware of false teaching, false teachers. Matthew points out to us in verse 7 how the disciples have misunderstood Jesus' statement. They in fact think Jesus is talking about bread. At this stage they have not grasped, they do not understand that Jesus is speaking to them about the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The disciples have hit panic stations. They have brought no bread. They are worried about this. In verses 8 to 10, Jesus realizes that they have misunderstood him, but he accuses them of being people of little faith. The text says, "O you of little faith." Jesus is saying to them, "Why are you worrying about bread?" Jesus tells them, "What is the big deal? Have you not learned from previous experiences that I can meet the need?" Jesus tells them, "Have you forgotten the feeding of the great multitudes with bread? Have you forgotten the feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000 men plus women and children? Have you forgotten how much bread was left over after every single man, woman and child ate their fill? What are you not worrying about bread for? Jesus' question to them is, do you still not realize that I have the power to provide you with all the bread that you will ever need? I am the bread of life. I can meet your need for physical bread, but greater still, I can meet your greatest spiritual need. Jesus warns us to be aware of false teachers. Matthew tells us in verse 11 that Jesus once again explains to the disciples, I am not talking to you about bread, but I am speaking to you about the leaven, the teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Their doctrine does not deal with sin. It does not deal with the heart of the human. It does not deal with the heart of the problem. The problem of the human heart. Their doctrine is based on do's and ceremonies. Their doctrine is fake news and has taken many souls on the broad road that leads to destruction. Jesus says, beware of their teaching. It is error. It is misleading. And finally, in verse 12, we see that the penny has finally dropped for the disciples. Jesus is not talking to them about bread, but about the teaching of the religious establishment of his day. Jesus warned us to be aware of false teachers. This morning, what is Jesus wanting to teach us today for our lives in 2019? How should this passage affect your and my life today? As Jesus instructed his disciples to be aware of the false teaching and wrong doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees of their day, we, you and I, need to be aware of the false teachers of our day and generation. Throughout the history of the church, there has been many dangerous teachings which has led many souls to destruction. Examples have been buying indulgence and your loved one will be saved. The priest can forgive you your sins. As long as you are baptized, you will be saved. As long as you come to church, that will see you right. Sermons on being good, trying harder, following the rules, work salvation. Sermons that fail to inform people that there is a judgment to come which will either lead to hell or eternal life in glory. And women this morning, how often in our own days do you not hear tell of sermons been preached which teach against the teaching of the scriptures? Live as you please. God will love you. It will be okay. God is love. Sin doesn't have consequences. Christless sermons are leading people to hell. Men and women, in these days, we need to be watching out for such false teaching. Be aware of it. Any sermon that fails to point out our human fallen estate that only Christ alone can deal with is error. It is only through Christ that we can receive a pardon for sin through God's grace. It is only through Christ that we can receive salvation. The greatest preacher who ever lived and ministered on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the lawmaker and fulfilled the law of God perfectly, the one who has breathed out God's word, his holy inspired word, tells us that salvation is found in him alone. Men and women, any sermon you hear should point you to Christ. Christ should be brought out throughout the whole of the sermon, not just a golden nugget at the end of the sermon. Believers here in Craigie Hill, as we we start a new church session, can I humbly and graciously ask you to pray for us who have been set aside to preach in this pulpit week by week. Ben, through a calling and ordination, and I as a probationer who has been sent here to be trained for ordination. Why do I ask you to pray? Well, we are weak men. Weak men who have been saved by God's grace. We're living in days where Satan is busy seeking to destroy and devour. Satan wants to prevent God's word from going forth faithfully. Pray that each sermon that is preached in this pulpit will point us to Christ. Pray that no matter how busy our week is, or no matter what our personal circumstances is, that we will be faithful in preparation to proclaim the word of God. Pray that we will keep Christ the main thing. Pray that the doctrines we would teach would be in accordance of the scriptures and the standards of the church. Jesus warns us to be aware of false teachers. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus seeking a sign from heaven to prove he was of God, to prove he was the promised Messiah. So often I hear and have heard it said, I would trust in Christ if I would just receive a sign to prove that he is real. Today, if that is you, you've already received the sign, the only sign you're going to receive. The Gospels are full of signs, but the greatest of all signs is the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus Christ has done for us what the high priests and priests in the Jewish temple could never do. All their sacrifices had to be repeated time and time again. But Jesus Christ, through his atoning sacrificial death, made one sacrifice for all time to deal with the penalty that our sin deserves. Jesus' death and resurrection proves he is the promised Messiah. He is the Saviour of the world. He is the Redeemer of God's chosen people. It is through him that you can receive peace with God. It's through him that you can be brought into the family of God. He is the bread of life. And it's through him that you can receive new life, eternal life. He is the one who has conquered the grave. The tomb is empty. He is risen. He is ascended to be with the Father, and he intercedes on our behalf this morning. And he promises at the appointed hour he will return for his bride, the Church of Christ. The day of God and his grace is calling you to himself. Do not harden your heart. Receive Christ. Receive the one who can free you from the bondage of sin. Receive the one who can change your identity from being an enemy of God to a child of God. Receive the one who has promised the crown of life to all those who follow him. Amen.